It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The new school year is underway in many districts this week. Along with the usual challenges facing schools these days, there is also a cash crunch in some districts due to the state budget impasse now nearly 2 months old. And at least two school boards in the region, Clairton and Stowe Rocks, have authorized borrowing to cover costs until state money is available. But what happens if the budget crisis drags on much longer? I'm joined now by phone by Mike Crossey. He's president of the Pennsylvania State Education Association. Mike Crossey, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's great to be on the show this morning. I guess it's this afternoon now.
It is afternoon. You are correct. And you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH@WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. What concerns do you have about your school board's ability to get by as the state budget impasse plays out? What's being done in your district to keep school doors open? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Mike Crossey, a new school year is already underway in many districts. From where you sit, how is the continued lack of a state budget impacting school districts in the region and throughout the state?
It is absolutely deplorable that we don't have a budget again. The voters voted very clearly last November that they wanted school funding. It was the top issue in the election for governor, and they made it very clear. The governor put a budget in play that would have provided $500 million in state funding to education, more access to early education, reduced property taxes for middle-class families. The governor gave us a fantastic budget. The legislature ignored it. They passed their own budget that would have continued the one-time tricks, created an even bigger deficit than the governor walked into, and increased property taxes in districts around the state. So from my point of view, schools are in a real crisis. They're still functioning at levels of funding of less than 2,000 that we had back in 2010. I hope your listeners will get on their phones and call their legislators' offices to say, quit the political games and let's get a budget passed.
When you hear about school districts taking out loans or approving lines of credit, what concerns does that raise for you?
Well, unfortunately, some school districts can't take out loans anymore. Some school districts are stretched to the max. I mean, we've had school districts in financial crisis for the last 4 years. There are some school districts around the state that are going to have trouble meeting payroll. In Chester Upland, which is in the east southeast part of the state, we have had some conversations with them this week that the staff there may actually go to work again without getting paid. That happened once before in 2012. And school districts all over the state are crunched. School board members are caught between a rock and a hard place. They're playing political games in Harrisburg. And at this point, there doesn't seem to be any relief in sight.
What types of school districts are being hit hardest by this?
Unfortunately, the school districts that are being hit the hardest are those that are more urban school districts, or school districts that don't have the local tax base. We saw this when the previous governor cut funding for our schools in 2011. The average cut, say, in Wilkinsburg, was probably close to $1,000 per student, while the average cut in, say, Mount Lebanon or Upper St. Clair was less than $100 per student. Those school districts have a, credible tax base where they can actually meet some of those reserves. Not to say they're not struggling or suffering too, but at the same time, our urban school districts, our Pittsburgh, Wilkinsburg, Duquesne, Clairton, those school districts are really suffering. I understand Wilkinsburg is in conversations about not being able to keep its high school open and maybe having the students attend the city of Pittsburgh schools. Those are deplorable conditions. Our legislators need to take a look at what's going on I mean, every child deserves a good education, not just children who live in upper middle class communities.
How much longer can this impasse go on before it reaches a crisis state? You've already outlined some serious problems that schools across the state are experiencing because of this. At what point does it become an emergency situation?
I actually think it's already there. You know, like you mentioned early in your comments, some school districts are talking about taking out loans of credit, lines of credit. Some school districts are talking about increasing property taxes. You know, the school boards are caught between a rock and a hard place. The kids are really the ones who are going to suffer here. They're coming back to school without the resources they need. You know, and nobody wants to throw money at a problem. But if we invest, and this is proven, that if we invest in programs that work for kids, the kids will do better. And, you know, we did that for 2 years when we had a school funding formula back about 6 years ago. And when we did that, students across the state of Pennsylvania increased scores. And I'm the last one to say scores are the end-all and be-all, but increased scores about 50%. Students in lower poverty districts increased scores by over a third. You know, so if we invest wisely in our children and in the next generation, we can move the state of Pennsylvania forward. But again, how long is this going to last? Until the Republican leadership stops playing political games.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Mike Crossey. He's president of the Pennsylvania State Education Association. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. And again, we're looking for any concerns that you have about your school board's ability to get by as the state budget impasse plays out. What's being done in your district to keep doors open? What are the things that are happening now that are causing frustrations for you or your family or your children? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Mike Crossey, there are nearly two dozen school districts in Western Pennsylvania alone where the teachers will begin the school year without a contract. Most notable is the Pittsburgh Public School District and the Allegheny Intermediate Unit. How does this budget impasse impact that process in general?
In general, what it does is it makes it impossible, you know, for the educators in those districts to get paid, you know, at a professional wage, and it makes it impossible for the districts to know how to negotiate a contract. If, you know, if we could get a state budget, districts would know how much money's coming in. You know, they could come together, create a reasonable budget so that staff is paid fairly and equitably, and at the same time, taxpayers aren't being, you know, overburdened. But at the same time, you know, it's difficult to negotiate a contract when the district has no idea how much money is coming in. You know, are they going to have money from the state, which Pennsylvania is 45th in the nation in terms of state support to public schools, which is one of the problems. In Pennsylvania, we rely heavily on property taxes. The governor's budget proposes to reduce property taxes and give the money from the state level to the districts. If we had that state budget in place, that would allow districts to reasonably sit down with their staffs, negotiate a fair contract that's not only fair to the people who work there, but also fair to taxpayers. You know, and that's what we're looking for. But again, it makes it very, very hard to do anything if you don't know what the budget from the state looks like.
This seems to be, there does seem to be an unusually large number of schools without contracts, and some of them have been without contracts for more than a year. Why do you think that there are so many school districts without contracts?
I think one of the problems is the fact that the state budget has been underfunding education since Governor Corbett's first budget. Governor Corbett's first budget cut education funding by close to $1 billion. So school districts have had a very, very strange situation for the last, you know, 5 years here. You know, what we've been looking at is trying to make up deficits, trying to fund out of, I think 76% of school districts had to raise property taxes over the last 5 years. I think that's the last number I've seen. You know, Governor Corbett's trying, Governor Wolf is trying to turn that around, provide state funding that's more fair and more equitable, and also more adequate. You know, if we look at those kind of things, then what we can do is, you know, right now school districts are caught between their staff, they're caught between cutting programs for kids. Something like 80% of the school districts have increased class sizes, cut programs out like mentoring and school, summer school program and tutoring programs. You know, so the school districts and the staff are caught between a rock and a hard place, trying to come up with a local contract. But it all starts with the state budget, and that's what we all need to be focusing on right now, in my word.
412-246-2002, the number to call to join the conversation. And we have Lee from Clairton, which is one of those school districts that's authorized borrowing to cover costs until state money is available. And we're talking about the situation and how the state budget impasse is impacting school districts. Lee and Clairton, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Welcome to the program. You're on the air with our guest, Mike Crossey, president of the Pennsylvania State Education Association.
Hi, Mike. I have two questions. In Clairton, they're spending a lot of money tearing down old buildings or old homes. My question for that one is, why haven't they taken the money that they're using to tear down those homes and divert it to the education for the children?
Okay, let's start with that, Lee. And Mike, hopefully you heard Lee's question there.
I did not. Could you repeat it for me?
Yes. She's saying that she's wondering why funds are being used to demolish places like old homes and I'm assuming abandoned buildings. Why isn't money that's being used to finance that being diverted to children and their needs, particularly as they relate to school districts' needs rather than building projects?
And Lee, I apologize, but I honestly don't know. In some of the municipalities I've looked at, things like demolishing abandoned homes to reduce crime and some of those kind of things is part of the city budget, not part of a school district budget. So I'm not sure there's a line item there, and I'm not sure that, like, the municipal budget, I'm not sure what complications or what legalities would be involved in moving funds from the municipality to the school district. So I've got to be very honest with you. I don't know that answer. I certainly, you know, in my world, you know, it involves around schools and children and funding education appropriately. It's a great question. I'll be glad to look into that, but I'm not sure that I have an answer right off the top of my head.
And Lee, quickly, the second part of your question?
Clairton has a winning football team. This streak has been going on for years. My other concern is they've been saying that they were going to integrate the children in Clairton into some of the other school districts, for example, Elizabeth Forward, and they haven't done it, and it's been going on for 4 or 5 years. My concern is they're worried more about the winning football team than they are about the education of the children.
Okay. Did you get that one, Mike?
I think I got part of that. Why are we funding the football program and not the education program? Lee is correct in a way that, you know, we need to look at our priorities. But at the same time, you know, when we go to school, things like football, the extracurricular programs, some of those kind of things are also critically important, and I would never say that they're not. You know, I taught school for 34 years, and I know that there are some students that we keep them in school because of their involvement in athletics or their involvement in the arts. So those kind of programs go to us helping to teach and educate the whole child. I'm a real fan of going to football games in the evening, Friday night football games in my school district. And, you know, there's a fine line there and a balance that needs to be struck. In a lot of school districts, parents have chipped in more through band boosters and things to keep the football program alive, the boosters clubs. It's a fine line. I would never be the one that says, let's cut out school football for math, though understand math is a lifelong, and reading, they're lifelong tools that the children need. But again, at the same time, I don't want the children to have to pay the price. You know, my emphasis is putting pressure on the legislators to get the funding that we need, both adequately and equitably.
We've been talking with Mike Crossey, president of the Pennsylvania State Education Association, about how the budget impasse is impacting the start of the school year and school districts. Mike Crossey, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Coming up, how can we reach the people the Islamic State is trying to recruit? Pitt professor Michael Kenny says it isn't just teenagers who are answering terrorism's call. He joins us next when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.